each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome to GIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Hooray.
Got a big weekend coming up. Every weekend is a big weekend.
I was just thinking.
Every weekend is a big weekend because we've got all the cancellations from last year, weddings, quinceañeras, memorial masses, and plus the new ones. So every weekend is we got something going on the hour, and tonight we're having the consecration to the precious blood of Jesus. You were part of that, weren't you?
At one time, I was coming.
That was a group that meet. They
every
pray
Thursday.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, don't they? Or pray at 3 o'clock in the morning before the Blessed Sacrament, and again, it's just a reminder to everybody that the doors are open 24/7. We're doing that tonight, and then we've got we're starting to pull together our calendar for the coming year. It's just already it's overwhelming. So we're looking at the I think I mentioned it yesterday about having the with the catechist.
Yeah,
and that, we talked about that yesterday, but I'm really excited about that. And if we could, and I got to remember to order those rosaries this afternoon for our students as well as for the families of the in the catechetical program as well. Because I really believe that having that rosary is it's a tangible physical thing. And I know that even if I'm reaching for my rosary right now. Sometimes I carry it around. I just carry it around, and it's
just
it's,
a habit.
But these little prayers that people can pray: Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. Have mercy on me, Lord.
Like it's poor infectious sinners. Now.
I have to get mine.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, and speak, Lord, your servant listens. Yeah. Here I am. I come to do your will. Come, Holy Spirit. Actually, I met with we've got young adults that are meeting on Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. And when I say young adults, it's really high, because they're in their 20s, in their 30s, I think. Some of them might be in their 30s, but I think they're all more or less in their 20s. And some of them are newlywed couples, but I was there till 10 o'clock after the Mass. So I had the Mass and the chaplet, and I just thought, and I do this every Thursday. I'll try to just sneak in to say hi, but end up staying for an hour.
That's why you can't just sneak in and say hi.
Right, exactly. But we had a really nice discussion on prayer, and they had been praying before that a centering prayer. To center themselves in, or to learn to center themselves in Christ, and using Lectio Divino, the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. They were really quite happy about that. But this is really the hope of the Church, because they're very very devoted, and very serious about their faith, their Catholic faith, and growing in the faith, it's very interesting to listen to them, to hear them speak. And And as I say so often, I wish I could be 30 years old again and just, just have that energy. I have a lot of energy as it is, but to have the year, to really get into the battle from another perspective, perhaps.
It's like one of those things you kind of think now, and I don't know if you do it, but I do it. I kind of think, if I knew what I knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Or even still, you think, if I would have knew what this was about, I could just have, you know.
Right. But you know, the thing is, we're people of our own time, right?
Yeah.
And so the world is, there's never anything new under the sun, but the radical changes, we kind of talked about this yesterday as well, I guess we always do. But in the 37 years that I'm a priest, the changes in these 37 years have been really rather dramatic. And most especially, when you think about the papacy of John Paul II, and Pope Benedict, and the hope and the enthusiasm and the it was as if there was a new stability, a renewal of holiness of life, a deepening devotion to the Mother of God, because Pope John Paul II had a deep devotion to Our Lady at a time when something just happened in the 1970s and the 1980s, but at the same time, it was in 1978 that he was raised to the chair of Peter, but then all of a sudden, now in a short period of time, a really short period of time, how all this has radically changed or turned.
Yeah, you know, it makes me actually marvel and realize how so much there is a God. Because when I think of just what you said, and I think if you're really astute and you're paying attention, and I think honestly, when you get older, maybe this is a sign of doing this, where you start, like you say, look at the horizon. I think maybe God, with Pope John Paul II, and you know, just prepared us for
this.
I think of Fatima.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When you learn about Fatima and you think about, you know, how Our Lady came and she asked us to pray the rosary. And, you know, the rosary for me has always been a thing that is like, oh, yeah, okay. Almost like Mass. At one time, for me, Mass was all about, yeah, I'll get there when I get there. You know, I'm still young. But when you realize, especially with the rosary, is a powerful weapon, but just the Mass itself.
Right.
I would say even the Mass is a weapon in a way. Because, you know, you're coming to God, you're listening instead of speaking. I mean, to me, that these are the things that, you know, when you think about catechism, and even when I was doing it for a while, we've missed this. We've missed having, and I think as a generation goes by, you have moms and dads sometimes that, you know, are Catholic, but what they do is, well, life is hard. You know, you're working two jobs. How do I, it's almost like the school system sometimes. We tend to, okay, the school takes care of our kids, but then when we hear all these things that are going on, A, you don't believe sometimes, and B, you think it's going to get better, but C, these are your kids.
Right.
So at home, you know, if parents don't know the faith, then yes, get to the parish, get to your church where you learn your faith. And it's simple. I mean, you got to start simple, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's the things that people don't know anymore.
Right, right.
Before you get to the lofty, you know, when you get older, you think about how things all... And that's, for me, that's all it's been for me lately, really. I mean, you see the puzzle pieces fit in.
Right.
You see the things click, and it's like, this is the things I've been hearing. That's why, Father, when you say, oh, I've said this, or did I say that?
Right.
We need to hear it over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like, give us this day our daily bread, you know.
Yeah.
So we got to be reminded every day that it's really staying with the basics. But the radical change in the society, and when people begin to realize that something very beautiful has been taken away or is being taken away, you know, then, you know, I think we were talking about this yesterday, Tony, but it's like you take for granted that it's always going to be there. And that's the danger. It's the faith has to be fought for in every generation, because who was it that said that it only takes a generation to undo
a
thousand years of it might have been Pope John Paul II, it may have been the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, or it might have been Fulton Sheen, but somebody said that it doesn't take but a generation to undo everything. And because you've got to lay the foundation and build on that foundation. And if you get a generation, two generations where there is no foundation, it's you know, it's like the people when they came back from the exile. It's just one of the most moving readings in Scripture. And I don't remember from what book of the Old Testament, but they came back. It was one of the prophetic writings. I think it might have been Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. I'm not quite sure, but the people because of their infidelities and their idolatries and the abominations that took place in the temple. This is all leading up to the 587 BC. Destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and the exile, and the people were warned. You know, the prophets were sent. You know, people, you got to wake up. You got to return to God. Don't forget, you know, where you've come from. Don't forget what God has done for you down through the ages. You know, and the people were much like today, caught up in their own idolatries. They were guilty of all kind of idolatries, abominations in the temple. Just complete outright disregard for the law of God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and I remember the prophet Habakkuk was pleading God with God, you know, don't let this chastisement happen, because even though most have gone astray, what about the innocent? What about those who have stayed faithful? And God, his response was, I'm conscious of those people, but you know, they too will be victims of the chastisement. But I will rebuild. This is like we heard that last week in from the prophet Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Again, it's in keeping with it's they're all the prophets. You know, that there will be a remnant there, that I will rebuild from a remnant. Sunday was speaking about all the shepherds leading the flock astray. But so God said to Habakkuk, he says, within a generation, I will bring the people back. So in 587 or 586 BC, the Babylonians came in and they completely destroyed Jerusalem. The people were exiled. They lost their status as a nation, the people of God, the people of the covenant, the Israelites. And the temple was destroyed, and the ark disappeared. The Ark of the Covenant was assigned to them in the temple that God was with them, and they had carried that ark through the desert, right? Mm-hmm. So in any case, in the exile, many of the people, they just took up with the other gods, the gods of the Babylonians or the Egyptians or whatever, but within a generation, in keeping with his promise, the secular king Cyrus, the Persians, the Persians defeated the Babylonians, and he was a benevolent king, and he permitted the Israelites to return to their land. It's no longer their land, no longer their nation, but they can go back and they can rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. But it's no longer their nation, and it was a remnant that, in fact, the very moving, the Psalms and all that, where they weep, they're in the exile, they're weeping for having betrayed God, and you know, they're suffering the exile. But many again had just become indifferent. Yeah. But those who realized what had happened, who had hit rock bottom and longed for the return, and so when they do return, the first thing they do is they build an ambo or a lectern, and because the temple's not there, so they build the ambo, the lectern. Nehemiah, a layman, and he calls forth the priest, and the priest opens the Torah, and so they're hearing the Torah for the first time in a generation. Which, and when we're talking about a generation, I think we're talking like 70 years. 70 years would be considered a generation, I believe. And so many had never, ever heard the Word of God. They had never heard the Torah. And so the reading is really dramatic as he begins to read from Torah. The people are weeping. They're prostrate and they're weeping and they're beating their chest and because out of sheer, it was a combination of sorrow for what had done, what had happened, what they had done, that they caused, or the people collectively speaking had caused the destruction, the loss of the nation, the destruction of the temple. So and this desert experience in the exile, away from God, away from the, although the prophets were speaking even in the exile to keep the people in hope. And by the way, that's ask you a question here in a second, but it's just very moving. And the priest says, you know, why, you know, don't weep, don't cry, you know, rejoice, you know, this is a new day, a new beginning. We've come home, so to speak, and then they wait 490 years from the time of the exile until the return of the ark, and that ark is the Blessed Virgin Mary, who conceives the Christ in her womb. The incarnation happens, and which would then lead to the Messianic hour, the hour of our redemption. So it's a similar. You can see this happening today. Although there are good signs, but what keeps me going from the time I went to the seminary was the mystique of the Anawim, the little flock that keeps faith. And at the time, you know, things were already getting crazy, but it didn't expect that it would come to this so fast. You know, what is the proper worship of God? But a question I have is in meeting with the young people yesterday. Again, these are people in their 20s, good group of people. I mean, really good group of people, and they realize their question was, how do we keep hope? How do we keep hope? It's a good question. I was trying to think, you know, because as a priest, as a father, and I think we were talking about this yesterday, you know, my concern is, you know, how to, even as I'm struggling with the radical changes, the radical secularism, the infiltration into the church of all kinds of ideologies that are really, really contrary to the gospel message, is how do you keep people in hope? How do you instill peace? And that peace has to be the peace of Christ. It has to come from God, and hope comes from God as well, and to strengthen the people in the battle, because they acknowledge that there's a lot of loneliness, there's a lot of suffering, there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of despair. The pandemic has added to this. The activism that we see playing out in the streets, the violence, the BLM, the Antifa. Now they're going to try to convince everybody that the real problem is white supremacy. You know, this is the media and the politicians, and it's really interesting. And where there is white supremacy, it's equally as bad as BLM, Black Lives Matter, the organization, the official organization, and Antifa.
But see, the interesting thing I think now is. And again, I've said this because when I think of white supremacy, I don't think it's the same terms that people are trying to get us to see now. So, you know, I mean, in all honesty, anyone that's out there rioting, to me, you're rioting for something. And if it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. You know, it's like, what are we rioting for? Because of police, I mean, making police look whatever. And I know things do happen. I understand that, but when does it come to the point? And I think now this is the thing that has me distressed: is people can't talk anymore things out. And in a real honest way too, I think sometimes there's too much talking that's being done. But there's got to be something better than going to the streets and, you know, hurting people, you know, starting fires and overturning cars and smashing out windows.
So how do you bring hope to your nieces and nephews?
Yeah,
you know, we started to talk about that yesterday. Or maybe they're too young that they're not in that. I think as you get older, although you know they're being indoctrinated in a way that is contrary to our faith, or having things get skewed so that they think. I'm not saying your nieces and nephews, but
no,
I'm saying generally speaking,
yeah,
young
I think
people,
many people are.
Convinced that we are a systemic racist nation, that white privilege or white supremacy is a reality that has to be obliterated. First of all, the question is it a reality or not? Unfortunately, you know, even the African Americans or the blacks, and again, you know, even saying that, you don't even know anymore what is the proper thing to say, you know?
You can't, you're almost at the point where you can't speak. And
can't
I think
speak, yeah,
that's
yeah.
why this is so dangerous. But even when you were talking about hope, I'm sorry, the simplest thing that comes to my mind, and I know it's for people that they won't understand it when I say it, but keep your eye on Jesus.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, know your faith. And even if you don't have faith, you know, I mean, talk to your kids. Rekindle the simple things if you are faithful. I mean, I talk to people today that are not Catholic, but know, God help me.
Yeah.
They say that, God help me. Whether they honestly believe that there is somebody more important than themselves, I don't know, but they know to the fact to say there's some, you know, God help me.
So what's lacking, I think, and with this came up yesterday too, and this is why prayer is so important.
Prayer is another thing.
Is that that God isn't hidden in His heaven beyond the beyond. It seems that there's a kind of an agnostic, more than atheism. Mm-hmm. Which is running rampant today too, but I think it's more of a kind of agnosticism that God is, that the God is out there, but is he really involved in the life of the world? Especially, you know, I hear this too from people. You know, and that came up yesterday too, where you want to trust and you trust, but when things don't go your way,
that's it.
You know, and we acknowledge, you know, as we were talking that. Pride is really what gets in the way, and if we can just let go and let God, as the old saying says, you know, just to, but to take it a day at a time, live in the moment, in the present,
yeah.
Keep our focus on God. He's our only stability, our only constancy. He's our soulmate. Were we talking about that yesterday?
Yeah.
I brought that question before them yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. After having read that article, The Tyranny of Positivity,
mm-hmm.
that we're supposed to be happy, 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 and there's something wrong if we're sad. And what happens when the world around you makes you sad and brings suffering and confusion and fear and mistrust or distrust because you don't know who to believe anymore?
Right.
And God is being purposefully the distorting or perverting the very beautiful, wonderful image of God as He's acted in and through history, and as He is present to us in the midst of all this chaos, because it is chaotic.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful prayer in one of the Eucharistic prayers, not the Eucharistic prayers, but in the collect and the opening prayers of the Mass. And I don't remember it word by word, but it was God asking God that our tranquility and worship not be disturbed, you know, our tranquility and worship not be disturbed. And that's where we all have to get out of the way and really humble ourselves. And it kind of like the Israelites that came back from the exile, and they wept because they realized that they had taken for granted, or that they had become indifferent, or they had become rather hostile to the covenant, that they turned their back on God, and as a result, they were paying the consequences. So what's happening today is, as I listen to these young people, They know they're living in a world that has become rather sick, that is creating fear, uncertainty, confusion, and they're looking. And so the question was, how do we find hope in suffering, acknowledging as well we don't want to suffer, and that was very pointed as well. We don't want to suffer, and so how do we suffer in hope and in peace? How do we not despair? Because they know too that, you know, and we and the fact that they, and they all agree, the fact that they've got faith puts them 10 steps ahead of anybody else. Just like that woman that wrote the interview, the Tyranny of Positivity, who was, if I read it right, you know, her whole emphasis was on keeping people happy, how to be happy, how to be self-fulfilled, and all this kind of stuff. But now, when the world is crumbling, you know, when you're thrust into a pandemic, into lockdown, into and you begin to see the rampant violence all around you, what do you do? But you begin to realize that, you know, and this is what had always been the understanding, is that our happiness comes in heaven, that as we're on the way, we're in the fight, in the battle, we're in the work of life. And so it's, yet we have moments of happiness, as we were saying, yeah, there are moments of happiness, but life is, a lot of life is drudgery, a lot of life is monotonous. We live in this society that wants to stimulate everybody, mm-hmm. And so that it creeps into the worship as well. How can I make this a really good experience? How can I stimulate the people in worship so they go away, you know, clapping and feeling joy and feeling good? Sometimes you have to go away not feeling so good, yeah. Because sometimes the Word of God is really rather, it's an admonition, admonishing us for our laziness or our indifference or our whatever it may be, you know. So it's interesting. We got to take a break here, and we'll pray when we get back. But think about that, you know. I mentioned that yesterday? And I mentioned that to the young people yesterday. What is it that parents want most for their children? Yeah. And they all said that their children be happy, but they're not going to be happy. They're going to have happy moments, but life is. Jesus said, again, how many times do I repeat this? Mm-hmm. He never, never deceived us. He said, you pick up your cross and you follow me. The road is narrow. Few can find themselves or can stay on this road. Very few. Peter said, how can man then be saved? He said, for man it's impossible. Jesus said, you are going to be persecuted. You are going to be at enmity with the world. You are going to be hated on account of me. You're going to have trouble in this world, but take courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. We have to inculcate the reality, and that is the world is a wounding experience, and there will be betrayal, rejection, denial. There will be forces in everybody's life that, you know, destroy or seek to destroy and can destroy one's inner sense of that inner peace or sense of well-being. And if we don't teach people to be other-centered, God-centered first and then other-centered, we're doing them a grave injustice. And I think that's what we've done as we've morphed into this very radically secularized society where God is pushed to the fringe or kept hidden in his heaven beyond the beyond. God is trying to break in. So when we talk about sacred space or the sanctuary, keeping the doors open, that the cacophony, the rude noise of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God, give people a way. As Jesus went this past Sunday we heard, to an out-of-the-way place to pray and to rest. It took the disciples. That we've got to be willing, intent on creating that space to commune with God, just to be in the presence of God. But so it goes back to the question. This is it takes me forever to get back to where I wanted to go, to something you said. Do people like you mentioned your friends that you know they'll mention God, but do people understand? Do they know? Do they believe that God desires to come close? That God desires that people have rest in Him? That God is not a distant, but and it is a mystery because we're in the exile ourselves because we're not in heaven yet. But that even as we're on the way, God wants to walk with us. On the way, He wants to commune with us. That's what we call Holy Communion, right? Holy Communion, to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is Holy Communion, communion with God and communion with each other, so that we not, it's individually, but even collectively, that we not collapse, we don't lose our hope, and that we have peace, and that we be, and that we confound the wise of this world by being radically different, not crude, not rude, not selfish, not greedy, not just self-absorbed, but that that we're our desire is to be more and more conformed to the likeness of Christ, or to allow Jesus to reproduce His life in us. That people would come to that realization that it's not just that God is not far away, but God is closer to us than we are to ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And as Jesus said, go into the inner chamber, open the door, go into the inner chamber, into the inner sanctum of your soul, and there be with your Father, and in secret. And your Father knows all things, so you needn't say anything. Just be still and know that I am God, as Scripture says. So it's if we can't do that, if we don't, we're never going to know how to find and have and maintain hope in a world that is seemingly going crazier by the day. And I hear that from all kinds of people, not just religious people, but all kind of people.
I do too.
So, all right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. And, don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. New from EWTN Publishing, Living the Scriptures by Mother Angelica is a collection of some of Mother Angelica's best on-air presentations and extemporaneous meditations. You will discover that Scripture is not a complicated puzzle meant for pensive biblical scholars, but a divine guide for our everyday spiritual life. And The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume by Cardinal Fernando Filoni, the Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, reflects on the life, the beliefs, the values, and the choices for a knight and a dame. Living the Scriptures and The House Was Filled with the Fragrance of the Perfume. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to pray now, okay? So it always takes us a long time to get into the prayer, you know? So it's our little conversation is a prelude to the prayer. So we talk about hope. How do you bring hope? It's through prayer, isn't it?
Right.
Through prayer. So let's pray. Let me make sure I've got my the right litany here. I do. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of salvation, cover us and the whole world. The ocean of the blood of Jesus Christ, set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ, full of holiness and compassion,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, our strength and power,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the everlasting covenant,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Christian faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the armor of God,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine charity,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the scourge of demons,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the help of those in bondage,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacred wine,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of Christians,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the defender of the Catholic wall,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Christian's true faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the healing blood,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the anointing blood,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the boldness of the children of God, save us. Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the commander of Christian warriors,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of resurrection,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the drink of heavenly angels,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the consolation of God the Father,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the circumcision of the Gentiles,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the peace of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sunshine of heaven and earth,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the rainbow in heaven,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the hope of innocent children.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God in our hearts.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the heavenly weapon.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine wisdom.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the world.
Save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God the Father.
Save us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse the sins of the world. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, refine the world. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, teach us how to console Jesus. Let us pray. O precious blood of our salvation, we believe, hope, and trust in you. Deliver all those that are in the hands of the infernal spirits, we beseech you. Protect the dying against the works of evil, and welcome them into the eternal glory. Have mercy on the whole world and strengthen us to worship and console the Sacred Heart. We adore you. O precious blood of mercy, O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds of the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that he alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You know, just a word, we'll take a break here in a second, but another break, but the this idea of hope, again, you know, how do you instill hope? I remember, and I've shared this before, but I should have thought about this last night when I was talking to the young people, because I think, you know, one of the things that we need to do, especially in this day and time, is we need to witness. Yeah. We need to let people know what God is doing, or how we perceive God working in our lives, or where were those moments of those these epiphanies? Because in the course of a life journey, we have these religious epiphanies, which means manifestations, where God will manifest himself, and there will be no doubt that something, this light, there's been an illumination. You think of St. Paul, who was, as they say, knocked off the horse, although he wasn't, that's not actually in the scripture, but when he had, that he was knocked off the horse, but that he did have an epiphany where he was blinded, and God spoke to him and said, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, "Who are you? And what are you talking about?" He says, "Why do you persecute me?" He says, "I am Jesus, and you persecute my body, the church, and you persecute them. You're persecuting me." And that was the moment a life-changing experience for Paul. Mm-hmm. And he went to Damascus, and he was left blind for 3 days, I believe it was, and then he had to be formed in the faith and became the great apostle to the Gentiles. But you know, you read the lives of the saints, and they've all had those moments, and we've all had them. You know, we've all had them, and we need to. One of the advantages of being a priest is people feel they feel comfortable to share with me their own religious experiences. They want some clarification, and they want to know that they're not going nuts, or that, you know, that God is really that he's really breaking into their lives. And it's one of those things that I think we need to make known to others, the reality, because when we talk about hope, and people are looking, you know, again, the question, how do we keep hope in a world that has gone insane? And certainly for those who think deeper, live deeper, I just use this experience, my own experience, where I was at the altar, raised the host when I first got here, so it was about 31 years ago, and I felt the absence of God, and I felt God was done with me. He was over, you know, he didn't want me, because all of a sudden I was thrust into the desert, into a dark night, and I didn't have any consolation. And I couldn't really minister to the people because I didn't speak Spanish, and I was having to learn the Spanish, and it was very hard. But even in prayer, it seemed like God was absent from my prayer. And so at the Mass, I raise a host, and I say, you know, God, you're killing me. You're literally killing me, because I just had no sense of God's presence in me or around me. And long story short, I some weeks later, while suffering this desert or dark night, however you want to call it, it felt like both, right? But I was able to contact a priest, which was the miracle, first of all, that I called this priest and he answered the phone, and I had never personally met him before, but I had heard him speak, and I said, I'm a priest, and I need to talk to another priest. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, come. He was in Hyde Park. And so I went there, and I sat down, and I just began to cry. I could only cry. And I said, you know, he's done with me. God is done with me. He doesn't want me. I don't know. How can I move forward in a priesthood when God seems to no longer care for me or want me or love me or whatever? That's how I was feeling. And then I shared with him the experience. I said, you know, I raised the host, and everything cried out in me, you know, you're killing me. And he says, yeah, he did. He said, yeah, he is. He's killing you. He killed his own son. Now, he'll explain that later. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't literally kill, but he offered his son.
Right.
And he says, he's not done with you. He's just beginning. Beginning. And that's what gave me hope. Even though I was still in that space, I didn't feel that I didn't have to despair. I knew that I had to keep going. Just to know that God is with me. All I needed to know is that God is with me, and that's how we have to, you know, bring that to others. Keep reminding people, God is with you. You're not alone. You're going to weather this storm. There's light at the end of the tunnel. At a time like this, the roots of your faith are going deeper and deeper and deeper. You can't see it, but trust me. You know, we gotta ask people. You know, you gotta trust. And I think just the confidence that people have, that confidence that yes, God is with us, will get us through, because that's all we need to know. You know, you're not alone. You're not alone. Nobody's alone. We despair when we feel that we are alone, and that's why, for our part, for each of us, we have to persevere in prayer. I always say, you know, perseverance and humility and surrender. It's not about what you feel, but it's about knowing that we're created by God, for God, and we have to choose each day for God. God has already chosen for us, you know. We're going to take a break, a final break, and then come back and wrap up. you may have some thoughts on that, Tony, yourself. So, everybody, be right. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night, for your safety. We ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up a week, another week. Hard to believe.
Goes fast.
At the end of July. Any commentary?
I was thinking when you when you throw it at me like that, just as you were talking, I was just, it's, how do I say, I wonder if people really understand, especially people that have faith, that God loves them, God knows them, God wants them.
Yeah.
And I think even in your, you know, agony of feeling he's done with you, I've come to realize a lot of people kind of go through life and they suffer. I mean, suffering, even, you know, when you see it in somebody that's sick or just somebody that we all suffer something. Mm-hmm. And then you always say that even if I'm happy for this moment, somebody else is going through something. And I guess for me, I've become more aware of that. And I think that's probably one of the steps people, you know, do to know this. But I think it just, the fact that even when you're going through, and a lot of times it is feelings, you know, I'm hurting, or I need this, or I want this, or I am confused. The fact that God knows you and God wants you to bring him, bring you to himself, you know, you near.
Sure.
It's something that I never really thought of. It's constantly.
Well, see, that's,
you know?
And that's why the, especially in the evening, when we come together for Mass, it's a unique group of people. I mean, this isn't, I mean, a lot of people, because of their, like, for instance, mm-hmm. you with your job and all that, mm-hmm. and people have got, you know, like, it's, but if people could find it within their day to create that space, to go to Mass. I've often said that, how many times have I said, I've often said, but, you know, Sunday Mass is the obligation, right? But in a day like ours, in a time like ours, the need to assist or to participate or to enter into the sacred mysteries of the Mass as frequently as possible is really important. And if you can build that into the rhythm of your life, or, you know, certainly in your own homes, you know, to pray the rosary, set time aside, or just set time aside just to be still.
Yeah.
Shut the radio off, turn the computer down, bring the, you know, take the computer down, shut it off, TV, whatever, and just be, again, as Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. I mentioned on Sunday, didn't I, again, about the, you know, why so often it was the shepherds who fulfilled the will of God in the prophetic office, even the kingly office, the priestly office of Jesus. Why so often the shepherds? Because they were in a place of listening. They were out with the sheep, away from, quote unquote, the noise of the world.
Right.
And so God, there was a natural a kind of inroad by which God could penetrate their mind and their soul. But we got to create that space. If we're just inundated with noise, and we were even talking about this last night at with these young adults about the when you go to a prayer or you go to the Holy Eucharist, sometimes you have to put the rosary aside and put the prayer book aside. That's not in any way to say not to pray the rosary, because it's the chain that binds us to God. But again, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just gotta, like as somebody once said, you know, and it might have been one of those sisters from, I think she was on the radio once before, but I thought it was pretty cool. She said that, or somebody said, why, you know, if you're courting a young man or a young woman. In the old days, you know, people would write letters and all that kind of stuff. Why would you? But when you're in the presence of the one you love, you want to be in the presence.
Right.
You're not writing the letter. You're not reading the letter. You're in the presence. And it when we go to the Holy Eucharist and spend time before the Lord, sometimes you have to put aside. You're in the presence of Christ, so you put aside the book. Put aside the rosary sometimes and just be still. The rosary can be a way of, you know, centering oneself in God. I hate to say this, but we're out of time. And I didn't even, by the way, it just happened to, was during the break, flipped this thing, and I had a paper that says, Jesus and Mary don't want me. Learning from the saints in their darkest moments, you know. It was kind of providential.
But isn't it in adoration really quickly, too? In adoration, I do that more now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't come in with a book. I don't come in with a rosary. I just want to be there and listen to what he has to say.
That's it. Yeah, thank you very much. You're right. Just be still and know that I am God.
Right.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.